offer a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you now. Lord, help us to rightly divide the word of truth. May we learn from your word, and Lord, may we draw closer to you and be challenged and changed and encouraged in our walk with you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when you think of the word always, tonight, as we look at miracles that teach, always means at all times, during all occasions. And tonight, it's good to know that some things you can count on, that they're always going to happen, right? And as we look at this miracle, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Miracles that teach. And I almost feel like I have to say almost every time I use that expression or that sermon series title, Miracles That Teach. All miracles teach. That's why they're in the Bible. We're talking about miracles of Jesus. And they teach even a lot more than what we're going to bring out, because there's lots of stuff in there, lots of good stuff in these miracles. So every miracle teaches, and nor do we claim that we get all of the teaching out of any one miracle, but we pause there and look at it. This is part 12, the 12th miracle that we're looking at. Most people would say around 35 miracles of Jesus during his earthly ministry. And this idea of always, at all times, all occasions, something you can depend upon. This is good news tonight for the lost, and this is really good news for the saved. So if you would follow along, Mark chapter 10. This is recorded in Matthew and Luke's gospel as well, but this is the gospel where the blind man is named. His name is Bartimaeus, and we're going to be looking at the story tonight, how Jesus heals him. It says in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people." Let's pause right there. If you look at the various gospels and you compare the gospel accounts, it almost seems a little confusing, because it talks like, you know, they're coming in, going out. Probably the confusion lies because there was two Jerichos. The old city of Jericho, which was no longer, but then the new city of Jericho, and they were about a mile apart, okay? And we were about 18 miles northeast right now of Jerusalem. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem near the end of his life, about ready to die upon the cross. And a lot of people are following him there for the Passover in Jerusalem. So a bunch of people following him. It says a great number of people. So can you imagine there probably was some excitement, because Jesus had been doing miracles and the very teachings of Jesus. Can't you imagine that with that group, you know, going to the Passover, a lot of excitement, that feast in Jerusalem. A lot of people were all, I'm excited. You know, you sometimes go to rallies and things get real exciting, whether you're cheering on a team or a candidate or whatever. But imagine being in the crowd with Jesus. And there was an excitement there, I believe. But notice there's an individual. Now, the other two Gospels mention two blind men. Bartimaeus was obviously the predominant one of the two, and the only one that's named. But here in Mark's Gospel, he's introduced. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now, I kind of picture this in my mind. You know, it's kind of probably a dusty road in my mind. I could be wrong. You say, "Preacher, I know you. I figure your mind is off a little bit on this one." But I can picture just a dusty road and all kind of masses of people following Jesus. And, you know, they're enamored with Jesus at this point. Not all of them were true believers, but at least they were in it for what they could get from Jesus. And as they headed to this feast in Jerusalem, they had 18 more miles to go, but they were, again, probably a pretty ruckus crowd and going. And then you had this blind man sat by the highway side begging. Now, you say, why would he be begging? That poor guy, he needs to go get a job. You know, well, it seemed like at that point there was no government assistant. There was no jobs that he could probably get. So he was probably doing the best that he could. So don't look down your nose at him right now and say, "Well, you know, Bartimaeus, come on, surely you can find something better to do than to sit by the highway side and beg." But that was pretty much the way things. He had no choice but to beg and try to make a living for him and whoever was part of his family as well. It says in verse 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth." Now, one of the Gospels mentions that he asks. He hears the crowd. He's like, what's going on? And they say, what's Jesus? So when he hears that, he automatically starts to cry out something. I don't know if you could kind of picture. I think it'd be terrible to be blind. I mean, I know that there's no loss of senses that would actually be good or easy, but I think being blind would be very difficult. And you can imagine his life. I would imagine you'd say it probably was not exciting, not a whole lot being able to see what was going on. Probably even to get to that point, perhaps he had to rely upon someone to bring him next to the highway so he might get a few coins his way. So you can imagine he was definitely not living the life of the up and inners, okay? But instead of a down and outer. It says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, now listen to what he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now you can imagine in all of the ruckus and all of the crowd noise that it would not be that predominant. So he's hollering out. And it says he began to cry out and say that. But as the crowd went by, and perhaps people were some might have been standing there, we're not really told, watching this big crowd go by, they tell him something. You know, they have such compassion for Bartimaeus, right? It says in verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. Now, that's a kind way of saying probably, shut up. Shut up. Just let Jesus go by. They may have been thinking, you know, Jesus is a busy man. He has lots to do. He's a very important man. Some felt he was the Son of God. Not all, I think, fully got that at this point, most likely. But they tell him, you know, you just fade into the background. You just be quiet. You know, this Jesus is a busy man. And basically, probably what they were saying was, my needs are more important than yours, Bartimaeus. You know what? We want to make sure. Now, most of us in our own eyes are the top dog, right? At least in the way we live our lives. We want what's for us, right? We want first place. We want in line first. We want, y'all agree with me on that? You're going to have to help me out, Bubba. One thing I like about Bubba, he's got a big smile on his face. He's enjoying every minute. They charged him that he should hold his peace. You know, don't say anything. But did he listen to him? He says, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, this guy had heard something about Jesus in the past. Don't you figure? Don't you figure this guy said, if I'm ever going to get my eyesight back, it's going to be because of this Jesus. And right here at this moment, I am not going to shut up. I'm going to keep hollering out for Jesus. And there was a recognition there that you are the Son of David. You are the Messiah. He had a recognition of who he was. I think we'd have been a lot like Bartimaeus if we were there. We'd heard of Jesus and the miracles that he had done, if I'm sitting there blind thinking there's no way, I have no hope. You know, it's going to be pretty drudgery of a life. The older I get, the more difficult it's going to be to sit next to the highway and beg. So this is my opportunity. So shut up. I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to yell out even louder and louder and louder and louder, calling out to Jesus. Now I love this next verse. And Jesus stood still. Was Jesus a busy person, so to speak? He's Son of God, too. But was he busy? There's never been a person that's lived more aware of God's perfect will, God the Father's perfect will for him. So he was constantly aware of that. He's constantly of, okay, now I got to do what the Father wants me to do. I got to make sure that I'm doing. So, I mean, this man had a lot on his plate, if you will, healing and preaching and teaching and all the things that he did. But Jesus stood still, just stopped. And I figure a lot of people in the crowd, if they weren't clued in yet that someone's hollering, you know, thou son of David, have mercy on me, they're probably like, oh, what's wrong? You know, because this crowd just stopped. Jesus stopped, and probably the crowd around him like, oh. And Jesus commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. It almost seems to me that there's a whole change of attitude toward the blind man because Jesus is now giving him attention. I mean, it's like, you know, he doesn't have time for you to be quiet. But now that Jesus stopped and says, okay, come up, then all of a sudden he becomes the most important man on the road. You know, it seemed like there's some false appearances trying to happen here. Some people trying to give some false impressions, you know, that, okay, now you're really important. Come on, be of good comfort, he calleth thee. And he, that would be Bartimaeus, casting away his garment. That's the outer garment. He rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Jesus always knows the answer to the question. But he asks, probably to get blind Bartimaeus to be thinking about that. The blind man said unto him, Lord! That's more than just a generic term. That's kind of like, from what I gather, that idea of Lord is kind of like, it's rabbi, but it's personal, it's emphatic, it means my Lord, my master. The only other person in the Gospels to use this term was Mary. Remember when Jesus spoke to her? And she turned around and said, you know, my rabbi, you know, Rabboni, I think it is. That personal, kind of like my Lord, my Redeemer, kind of that thought. This guy had a realization of who this really was. I mean, this guy, Jesus, and I'm not meaning any disrespect by calling him guy. He's the Son of God. He's fully 100% man, 100% God. But he took the time to stop and recognize the needs of this blind man. And this blind man, who already saw him as the Messiah, it seems to me took it one step further and now says, my Lord. The blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He got a double blessing. You're going to see it here in a minute. Not only did he receive his sight, but notice what it says. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But not only was his eyesight restored, it's hard for me to fathom that if I could not see, and the Son of God, Jesus, comes along and heals my sight, Can you imagine how exciting that would be? I mean, to go around in total darkness and then all of a sudden, boom, I can see. Wow. I think we sometimes lose something. We read stories and just kind of like just for information. But just think about it. What if you were the one begging? I mean, again, what kind of lifestyle did he have? A difficult one. But Jesus took time. He stood still. He healed the man's sight. Jesus says, thy faith hath made thee whole. He's talking more than just his eyesight. This man gets saved today. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We're looking at miracles that teach. And we're looking at the word always. It's something that's true at all times, during all occasions. And we're going to be looking at a few thoughts about that right now. Point number one, it's always a good idea to call out to Jesus. It's always a good idea to call out to Jesus. Now, I pondered on this a little bit. I like that word, ponder. I pondered on this a little bit. Is it ever a bad time to call out to Jesus? You know, when the lost need to be saved, it's a great time to call out to Jesus, don't you think? When the saved are going through difficult times, which happens because we live in this old sinful world, is there ever a bad time to call out to Jesus? You know, what about things going great? You know, what if you're having the best day of the week and you're like, praise the Lord, everything's going good. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't it a good time to call out to Jesus? I can't really think of a bad time to ever call out to Jesus. And you know, Jesus, especially for his children, are waiting on us to call out to him. You know, he invites our prayers. It talks about the throne of grace. You know, we can come boldly to the throne of grace in prayer. And when we call out to him, whether it be in desperation or in praise, I think Jesus is waiting for that prayer. And it's a blessing to him, if you will. It pleases him. He's like, yeah, that's a child of mine. I want to hear from him today. And I'm sure he speaks with a southern West Virginia accent, by the way, in case you wonder. But it's always a good idea to call out to Jesus. Always a good. Isn't that right, Gwen? Southern West Virginia accent. God has a southern West Virginia accent. Isn't that right? Say amen.
Amen.
I guess we better move on from that. I'm kidding, okay? I don't know that. But it's always. There's never a bad occasion, a wrong occasion to call out to Jesus. Man, isn't it wonderful to have a Savior like that? I mean, this guy was in the midst of a crowd. Jesus was in the midst of a crowd. This Savior was in the midst of a crowd. This Son of God was in the midst of a crowd on a mission to make it to Jerusalem. And this poor beggar, blind man, calls out to him. And it says, and Jesus stood still. It's always a good idea to call out to Jesus. Now, he was calling out for mercy. 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 Don't give me what I deserve, Lord. But give me mercy. Give me good stuff instead. You know, I'm reminded of the story that Jesus tells about, I believe it was the Pharisee that called out and raised, you know, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like all the tax collectors and the publicans and I'm such a sinner. But he said, you know, is God really going to listen to that? Or is that the kind of prayer that we should be praying? That he said the publican basically couldn't even look up and bowed his head and said, Lord, essentially, it's my paraphrase, but Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I go to God quite often and kind of phrase it almost like, dear God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't want what I deserve, but I'm calling out for your mercy. And I'm thankful that it's because of God's mercy that I'm going to heaven someday. It's always a good idea to call out to Jesus. Point number two. Are you ready for this? This is good news. Talking about always, things that are always true. Jesus always hears us. Jesus always hears us. I've already pointed out quite emphatically in verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Why? Because he heard this blind, poor man named Bartimaeus call out to him for mercy. He heard it. You ever feel like nobody's listening to you? You know, in this world, it's real easy to think nobody's listening to you. It's amazing to me that we have, I imagine at this point in time, we have more ways to communicate than we ever have. I mean, just think about it. We got text, we got phone call, we got face-to-face, we got social media, all kind of different social media avenues that we can communicate. And I'm sure I'm missing some very obvious, but we have a gazillion ways to communicate. But it still seems like at times nobody's listening. Just because we have more ways to communicate doesn't mean we are better listeners. Actually, I think just the opposite is happening. I think what the opposite is happening, we have so many ways to communicate that anymore we're ignored. It just seems like, well, we're ignored more and more, it seems like, when people, we feel like something's important and we need to communicate. And, you know, I'm not sure anybody uses their phone as a phone much anymore, you know. But I don't want to get too far off point here. People seem not to listen to us, but I'm thankful. When we may feel neglected, we may feel ignored, we may feel that nobody cares, Jesus always hears us. You know, I'm thankful that even if you wake up in the middle of the night discouraged or worried or stressed about something, you can call out to the Lord. He's a constant companion. He always hears our prayer. Whether we say it verbally, whether we say it silently in our heart, He hears our prayer. What an awesome Savior we have. Things that we can always count on. It's always a good idea to call out to Jesus. I can't think of a time it's not a good idea to do that. Secondly, Jesus always hears us. I get so frustrated with calling a company now, and then they give you options and none of them apply. And then you're like, which option should I take? I don't know. I don't know if you're like me, sometimes it's like, I don't know, let's just hit this one. And then you hit it, and then, you know, then it's like, you've called the wrong, this, well, you know, the ones that really get you is when you're trying to get a person, and you get to a certain point, and they just hang up on you. I mean, that's not by accident. Jesus never hangs up on us. We don't even have to listen to a stupid machine and a message and leave a message. Because He always hears us. I'm thankful for that. So, miracles that teach. Always. It's always a good idea to call out to Jesus. Jesus always hears us. Number three, the greatest need of man is always salvation. The greatest need of man is always salvation. You know, the greatest need of your lost neighbor is salvation. You know, the greatest need, you know, I don't envy you folks that are out in the secular workplace. Now, I've been in a secular workplace before. I've worked as an engineer, and it's not like I have no knowledge of that. I do. But the way the world is, my goodness. I mean, some of you could probably just give stories right now what it's like. I mean, some of you are blessed. Maybe you've got great coworkers, and I'm not, you know, speaking in general terms to mean all of them. But I imagine that most people that are in the workplace today, they have some real challenges as a Christian because of the people that we encounter. But that lost coworker that you have, you know, their greatest need is salvation. Again, your lost neighbor, your lost coworker, your lost family member that you're going, I don't get it. You know, they're back to the same old, and it's almost wrecked their life the first time. Now they're back here again. You know their greatest need is salvation. You know the druggies in Clarksburg, you know what they need? Their greatest need is salvation. The people hooked on alcohol, guess what? You know their greatest need is salvation. It doesn't matter how moral you are or how immoral you are. Your greatest need, if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is salvation. And the greatest need of any man is always salvation. You see, the Lord wants to change us and the Lord wants to work on us. I'm amazed at how many people want to get it backwards. They're like, you know what? I figure if you've shared the gospel very much, you've heard this. It's like, no, not right now. You know, I got a few things I want to get straightened up. And then once I get them straightened up, then maybe I'll come to church. Maybe I'll see about trusting Jesus. Maybe, you know, that's not the way it works. You got it totally backwards. You get saved first, and then you let God do the work in getting your life straightened up and cleaned up and becoming all that God wants you to be. The greatest need of man is always salvation. Now, Jesus healed this man physically, and yeah, that was a big need. But his greatest need still was salvation. I found this pretty interesting as I looked at this passage. When it says, go thy way, thy faith. Wow, faith. How are you saved? Now you got to think about this for a moment. I mean, think about it for a moment about how mixed up the world is on this and how mixed up most churches are. And I'm saying most churches. I could name you some denominations that are pretty well respected in the world, but they still got it wrong. I mean, if you're trying to get to heaven by any other way than putting your faith and trust in Jesus, you're wrong. You can't add it to Jesus. You can't say, well, Jesus plus good works. You know what that does? That negates Jesus altogether. Jesus, if we could have got to heaven, if we could have inherited heaven because of our good works, why in the world would the God of the universe send his only son, Jesus, to this world to die on the cross? The only way to be saved, the only way to be saved is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. That's one reason I get really upset when people say, well, they're in church. I'm just happy they're in church. I don't know what church it is. I don't know what world they believe, but I'm just glad they're in church. Folks, that's not good enough. They need to be in a church that's preaching and teaching the Word of God, and they need to be in a church that says salvation is by grace through faith alone. Because they can go to church the rest of their life. They can live to be 120 years old. But if they don't trust Jesus as their Savior, they're still going to die as a church member of whatever church it is and go to hell because they never got by faith in Jesus is the way to be saved. The greatest need of man is always salvation. It says, thy faith. And it's an individual faith. It's not a family faith. Some people get that mixed up. Well, my whole family's come to church here, and we've been part of this church. And well, praise the Lord, that's great. We need to have more families and extended families and continued families in church, absolutely. But you're not saved by that. He didn't say in some general way, your faith or the faith of this group or the faith of this crowd that's following me or the faith of your family. He says, thy faith, your individual faith hath made thee whole. You know, everybody's got to make an individual decision to trust Jesus. You know, some people think, well, my grandpa did this, my grandma did this, my great-grandpa. And my, well, praise the Lord, that's great to have a heritage like that. But salvation is a personal decision. It's not inherited. The sin nature is inherited, but salvation is not inherited. Salvation is an individual decision by putting your faith and trust in what Jesus did for you. And I really believe that even in some of our Bible-believing and preaching churches, some reason beyond my comprehension, we have some people that still think they're working their way to heaven. We should want to serve God. We should want to be in the center of His will. But we cannot be saved by what we do. The greatest need of man is always salvation. It hasn't changed. It was that way at the time of Jesus. It's that way now. It was that way in the Old Testament. You know, they were saved by faith also. Faith in what had been revealed to them at that point. Faith in God and what He had told them. That's how they were saved, right? So it says Abraham was saved. Why? Because he believed God. That's faith. The greatest need of man is always salvation. But when it gets down there, what I found it really interesting, thy faith hath made thee whole. Hath made thee whole. When I looked up the Greek word for that, you know, it means be saved. That's what it means, be saved. And sozo is best I remember, be saved. And that's the same word that's translated in so many of the passages that we use for salvation. For instance, let's just pop a few of them up on the monitor real quick. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, that I've already quoted a little bit. For by grace are you saved, same word. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Same word. So this man was saved. How? This man was saved, Bubba. What about Romans 10, 9 and 10? It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Sozo, same word as be made whole right here. Wow. What about verse 10, did I? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice what it says. Verse 13, we say this a lot too and quote this a lot in church. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sozo, same idea, same word. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. It says, praising God. This is the start of the New Testament church. It said they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Same word. Chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Same word. Chapter 16 and verses 30 and 31. Now, there's a bunch of them, but I just wanted to pick out a few of them, some of the real common ones. It says, and brought them out and said, now this is the Philippian jailer. Remember him? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Same word. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. You know, this story is not only a story of a healing of a blind guy. This is the story of God healing a man's soul. This guy got saved. Wow. The greatest need of man is always, always salvation. You know, I encourage you, if anyone would happen to be sitting here today and say, you know, I pretend like I do, but I'm really not sure about this thing, or, you know, I still have my doubts, or, you know, I still think a little bit about this work stuff, and I need to be working, and yeah, we should be working, but you're only saved by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. I'd encourage you, if you're here, if you're listening in tonight, your greatest need, if you're not saved, your greatest need is not a big bank account. Your greatest need is not a bigger house. Your greatest need is not a newer car. Your greatest need is not fill in the blank. It is salvation. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. Miracles that teach. We're looking at the word always. It's always a good idea to call out to Jesus. Something we can count on, depend on. Secondly, Jesus always hears us. That's good news. Third, the greatest need of man is always salvation. Number four, fellowship. Fellowship should always follow salvation. Fellowship. I'm not saying fellowship. Say, preacher, with your accent, sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly what you are saying. Fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship should always follow salvation. It says there in verse 52, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, I know that this is like physically following Jesus here. I mean, because he's heading to Jerusalem, like 18 miles away, right? But I believe the principle is set forth very clearly in Scripture. Everywhere else, a lot of places. And here, even in this picture that you have in your mind, that fellowship should always follow salvation. Following Jesus ought to come when someone gets saved. You know, I do believe that if there's no change, there's no conversion. If there's no fellowship, I'm not sure a person's ever really been born again. Because either one of two things. That person truly is saved, not following Jesus, and the Lord is shouting in their ear right now through the Holy Spirit saying, you better get right. Or they're not hearing anything. We talked about that this morning. They may think they're saved, but they're not saved. If the Lord's not chastening them and saying, you need to straighten up and fly right. But fellowship should always follow salvation. I believe that if everybody got this and everybody truly was saved that says they're saved, we'd be making a whole lot bigger impact on Clarksburg. Come on, Bubba. His eyes are wide open, but I'm not sure he's focused on me. He's like some of y'all when I'm preaching. Your eyes are wide open, but I don't think you're... you might be thinking about Pittsburgh. I'm not sure. That's our little expression, you know. When we go a little fuzzy for a little bit, we sometimes use... I'm sorry, you know, my brain was in Pittsburgh. I'm not sure why we say Pittsburgh. Why do we say Pittsburgh? Because we're Steeler fans or Pirate fans or... You know the answer to this? Okay, what would be the answer? Preacher's wife? Clear as mud. Appreciate you clearing that up, Amy. I'm glad we can laugh and have a good time together. We should as Christians, right? Seriously, I do mean that seriously. But fellowship should follow salvation. And really, we ought not. Now, I know we got our old sinful nature. I realize that that's a constant struggle because really I've had before people come up and demonstrate pulling this way. That's like the old flesh and the old sin nature pulling us. And you got the Holy Spirit over here now that you're saved pulling this way. Then, you know, it's a constant struggle. I get it. But really, it ought not take an act of Congress to get you to come to church. Now, you're the Sunday night crowd, so and most of you are the Wednesday night crowd, too. But it ought not take an act of Congress or a bolt of lightning to get us in God's house. If we're truly saved, we ought to want to get together. We ought to want to follow Jesus. We ought to want to do what His Bible says. And that's why we preachers, we scratch our heads sometimes and we're concerned about souls. Seriously. Because fellowship should always follow salvation without exception. And I'm not by any means preaching perfection, but there ought to be the want to in our heart if we're truly born again. There ought to be the want to. Tonight, miracles that teach. I just think it's a wonderful story. I mean, the guy gets his eyesight. This basically hopeless guy along the road begging for money gets his eyesight restored and gets his soul saved. Amen. All in one fell swoop. I mean, it's good stuff. Good stuff. We emphasize the word always. Something we can count on. Something that's true in every situation. It's always a good idea to call out to Jesus. So you may be. There's nothing. There's really nothing to ever be ashamed about calling out to Jesus. Because can I tell you? You can't handle it. Can I tell you? I can't handle it. But I have a Savior that can. So there's nothing wrong with calling out to Jesus. And He's not down there like, oh, look at that little weakling down there calling out to me. I think just the opposite. I think He's saying, now, there's a child of mine, and they know exactly where the power is. So it's always a good idea to call out to Jesus. I'd encourage you to do it. Have no hesitancy in that at all. Like I said, I can't think of a bad time to call out to Jesus. Hey, things are going good, things are going bad. Just call out to Him. Secondly, Jesus always hears us. Jesus always hears us. He's not. Jesus is not like husbands. You know, husbands, a lot of times, they don't really hear. I kind of learned a lesson on this. It's better to say, now, Amy, what did you say, than to say, mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Because it'll come back to bite you later. And they say things like, now, didn't you hear me say this? And like, And she'll figure out that you were just giving lip service, you know, that you really heard what she said. But I'm thankful Jesus isn't like that. He always hears us. He's the best listener there is. So, take that. Use that. Go to the Lord whenever you need Him, because He hears you. And the third point is, the greatest need of man is always salvation. So when you see people that are living like the devil, so to speak, and their lives are all messed up, just keep in mind, their biggest need, they need salvation. Again, I've said quite often, they're not the enemy, they're victims of the enemy. And we need to do our best to meet that greatest need in their life, which is salvation. You know, that's why we in particular, we've tried to emphasize this through the years we've been here, and I know y'all agree with this as well. It's great to give somebody a blanket, but it's even greater to give them a blanket and the gospel. You know what I mean? That's what makes churches different, because we say the greatest need is really not this blanket, but we're going to give you a blanket to help you. But let me tell you what your greatest need is. Your greatest need is salvation. And in the ministries we support, it should be that greatest need. Because honestly, we can give everybody a blanket, spend millions of dollars, give everybody in Clarksburg that needs it a blanket, but we're not meeting their greatest need. Their greatest need is always salvation. So I hope you keep that in mind, and I hope you keep that first and foremost, that is, in your heart and life when you encounter people that are lost, whether at the workplace or whether it's a neighbor or someone in your family. They're just acting all they know. They're acting out just like what they know because they don't know Jesus. So we need to be the one to share the gospel. Are you sharing the gospel? And the last point, fellowship should always follow salvation. I know that we can all follow more closely. And God might be whispering in your ear right now through the Holy Spirit and say, you know what, you could follow me a little closer. But fellowship should always follow salvation. If you're truly born again, one of the ways we show that we're saved is by bearing fruit. And that means following Jesus. So are you following Jesus close? Now, you know, I think it's not a good idea to tailgate people on the road, but it's a good idea to tailgate Jesus. Really, get as close as you can and follow Jesus. Let's bow for a word of prayer. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me ask you. Tonight, miracles that teach in this always. It's always a good idea to call out to him. Jesus always hears us. The greatest need of man is always salvation, and fellowship, that is, should always follow salvation. Let me ask you tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed, through the message tonight from God's Word, has God's Word and his Holy Spirit spoken to your heart tonight in some way? Challenged you in some way? Would you raise your hand up real high if he's challenged you? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for those hands. Would you take just a moment right now from your seat, just call out to God, and whatever God has challenged you in, whatever area, would you take just a moment and ask him to help you in that area? Secondly, is there anyone here tonight that would say, you know what, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved? Or you might say, I know that I'm not saved. Anybody here tonight? Raise their hand and say, you know, preacher, I'm either not saved or I'm not sure whether I'm saved. Anybody at all fit into that category? I don't see any hands here, but maybe you're listening in. Listening in, maybe even after the fact or right now, even live. Maybe if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, your greatest need is to be saved. You don't need to get your ducks in a row. You don't need to get everything planned out and get this habit out of your life before you're saved. The first thing you need to do right now is to be saved. Put your faith and trust in Jesus, the Son of God who died on the cross to pay for your sins. From your heart, I'd encourage you, wherever you are right now, call out to him in prayer. Just talk to God in prayer. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I've done things against you. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus was your son, died on the cross, perfect son of yours, died on the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. And then I want to confess Jesus. I want to admit that Jesus is my Savior. If you mean that from your heart and you called out to God, guess what? There's nothing magical in the words, but if you mean that truly from your heart, you just got saved. We'd appreciate if that be the case, you letting us know we can help you in your walk with the Lord. Dear God, we thank you for your Bible and this miracle that teaches. And Lord, we thank you that there's according to your word, Lord, and according to what you showed us tonight, Lord, there's some things we can count on, always the case. We thank you for that. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.